Greetings and salutations, everyone. Guess what? We are back with the Lighten Up Brother podcast with Fuego Del Sol. We'll kick it off to Fuego because Fuego has something to say.
Yes, yes, of course. This is the Lighten Up Brother podcast where every week we talk about the best stuff in pro wrestling. What is fun, what we enjoy. We're sick of the negativity and we want to give it to you in even more content. So we want to break it down into clips. We know 30, 40, sometimes 50 minutes like last week, you might not have time to consume it all. Maybe you don't watch this show, you don't watch that show, so you want to break down things in clips. Well, we have just started the Lighten Up Brother podcast channel. It's a specific channel just for YouTube where you can go through and just check out clips of the podcast where you do not have to watch everything if you don't want to. It is in the description of the YouTube video below. Go, please subscribe to the Lighten Up Brother podcast, new YouTube channel. Check it out. I don't want to clutter up the Fuego Del Sol YouTube channel. You know, I'm releasing the stories about AEW every week. And I want to give the Lighten Up Brother podcast its own home and room to breathe. And so that way we declutter my channel. We dedicate a channel for more clips for the Lighten Up Brother podcast. Please, in the description of the YouTube video, even if you're listening on audio versions, give a new subscription to the Lighten Up Brother podcast with Fuego Del Sol in the description below. First link in the description below. Please click it and subscribe. We would greatly appreciate it, and it'll help us because you can watch, and it'll help you because you watch the clips of what we like every week.
Perfect. Yeah, go make sure you subscribe, guys. Got a new channel about to unleash, and yeah, we need all the feedback and all support we can get, and I really appreciate everyone in the comments giving us feedback and supporting us so far in this podcast journey. But we all know what we're here for. We'll start off with the big topics. We gotta talk about Crown Jewel. Take it away, Fuego.
Man, we could start anywhere on Crown Jewel because it was a great show. I think the crowd got a little tired during the middle, but they heated back up towards the end. I thought closing the show with Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes and LA Knight versus Roman was great. I mean, of course, Roman was on the main event regardless, but having Cody and them be semi was a immaculate choice because he's over like a Rover, dog. Oh, yeah. And Seth and Drew kicking off the show with a banger.
Yes.
I thought there were going to be some shenanigans. I thought we were going to have maybe a cash-in. Maybe Drew commits finally to the heel turn. None of that happened. Yeah. Right? We did get a cash-in tease where Sami Zayn saved the day. But besides that, you know, Seth beat him clean as a whistle. I think that adds to Drew's fury. Mm. I think that adds to Drew's mindset of why he probably is going to turn soon, because now he's got no excuses. He lost fair and square, clean as a whistle, in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to go that way.
Definitely.
Last week, I did pick Seth Rollins to beat Drew McIntyre. I think you picked Drew to win. So I figured Seth would win, but I didn't expect it to be like down the middle like that, like straight up.
Yes, shocking. However, definitely an easy match of the week contender.
Oh, for sure.
Because that shit slapped.
It did slap.
I tweeted about it. Seth busted out the Hayabusa tribute where he springboards in with a senton and then immediately goes up for a springboard moonsault. It was beautiful. Shout out Hayabusa.
So sick.
You know, some people online are starting to dislike Seth in-ring work, and it blows my mind, really, because I think some people think some of his offense is slow. They think his suicide died slow. They think other things are moving slow. But when it comes to putting a match together, I think Seth's one of the best in the world, and I just disagree with the people online. I think
Seth Rollins is awesome.
You're entitled to your opinion, even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. It's just simple as that. But again, we're here to be positive, baby. But I like to throw a little sauce in it every once in a while. Y'all being salty. Cena versus Solo. I was debating on just putting in some rapid fire topics, you know.
Right.
Luckily, the SAG after strike just ended. So that pretty much means we've probably seen the last of John Cena wrestling on a weekly basis. And so where I really thought he needed the win, with the timing of how everything happened, the way Solo won in such a dominant fashion, It really makes him look big. It's something he can brag about later on. But it also sucks to see that the decline of Cena.
It is.
And that we won't get to see Big Match John. I said it last week, don't take Cena for granted. And, you know, I enjoy his work. I enjoy his promos. He cut a great promo on SmackDown leading up to the match. He called him off-brand Taz. He said he's only Solo was only signed because of, Roman was his cousin. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going to miss Big Match John.
Me too.
We saw Rhea Ripley retain. I think that was the right choice. I don't think anybody should have, you know, beaten Rhea Ripley. We saw Bianca Belair and Io have a good match. Crowd wasn't fully into it, but it's just good to see Bianca Belair back in the ring because she's great in ring. I thought it was getting cooking, but then we had the Kairi Sane return. So where does that put Io and Bayley? Bayley's the one who took Kairi Sane out of the WWE back in the pandemic days. Now Kairi Sane is back with her best friend in Io Sky. Where does that leave Bayley? Where does that leave Dakota Kai? We're going to find out if damage control is forever damaged and if they can control anything anymore. But it's good to see Kairi Sane back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Good to see that. And touching back with John Cena and Solo, just for me, it's like, it is like a somber, like a bittersweet moment. Because like, we've just seen, like, I won't say the last days, cause that makes it feel like very dark. But, you know, Cena's healthy and alive and well. But this is wrestling, you know, resume and like him just being in the spotlight and having big matches. I feel like it, we're looking, you know, in the rearview mirror with that, and it sucks. So I did predict that Solo was going to win just because, like, I feel like Solo definitely needed it, especially with the SAG-AFTRA strike, you know, happening. Like, John Cena didn't really probably need a win there anyway, since he's going to be gone for a while. So happy for Solo, but just, you know, it's a somber moment for, you know, John Cena at the moment. But what can you do? You know, life, you know, people getting older, it just happens. So
absolutely. Shout out to the GOAT, John Cena.
For sure.
Speaking of GOAT, let's talk about it. I mean, we're going to be broken records like everybody else. The new United States champion, the Maverick. We just talked about the greatest of all time. We're about to talk about the greatest of all prime, like he said on his entrance. Logan Paul. He beats Rey Mysterio in a fun match, you know. I think what I learned most is that Logan Paul is getting comfortable in the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen him being led in matches a lot. You know, when you're in there in tag matches, you could be led by multiple people. When you're in there with Roman Reigns, he slows things down at a pace that makes you look good. Seth Rollins, you know. This one, though, you have a lot of moves with Rey Mysterio that are high-flying where you have to base, where you have to be on point. Exactly. And you can just tell he's grown comfortable in the ring. He busted out the moonsault slam off the middle rope, which was dope. You know, he busted out the tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, which is fire. He did the Hangman Lariat again, where he saved Rey Mysterio on a line salt where he's supposed to catch him. He stops himself, then stands up, hits the slam. He busted out an Ultimate Warrior tribute with an Ultimate Warrior splash. He did a gorilla press. There was just a lot of things that impressed me about Logan Paul in this match. You know, he's really good in ring. And now, not only is he really good in ring and athletic, he's comfortable in his own skin. And I'm glad he's going to make the United States title bigger. He's going to make it mean something and take it with him wherever he goes. He enjoys the WWE, and the more we get of him, the better he is, because he's a great heel, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. That's one thing I want to say about Logan Paul. Of course, the athletic ability is there, but what a lot of people might be glossing over is just how smart Logan Paul is. He's like one of the best like marketing like geniuses. We all know that. You know, he's great with his YouTube, but this, being that smart and self-aware, you know, when he caught Rey Mysterio in that moment, in that spot, but that could have ended badly. But I feel like a lot of people in that spot, if they're not smart enough or self-aware enough or just quicker on their feet, they might miss that. And I just want to have a huge shout out to Logan Paul for doing that, and appreciate him for just being like a sponge. You can tell that he's learning so much, and he's just taking it all in, the business. He's not like, oh, I know this already. Like, this is easy. Like, y'all don't need to tell me anything. He didn't go in there with a massive ego, like, oh, this is nothing, I can do this in my sleep type of thing. I feel like he was more of a sponge. He's listening to all the veterans there, like giving him great feedback. He's taking it all in. He's putting it in this, and we've seen it for our eyes. He's putting it in the ring and showing us he can put on good matches with legends, and it's awesome to see. So, sure.
Absolutely. Intrigued to see where he's at next. Is he going to be on SmackDown this Friday? Is he going to be there more on a weekly basis? I hope so, because I'm enjoying everything he's doing.
Me too.
Now let's get to my boy Cody Rhodes, right? Cody Rhodes has shown that he can stay over, can stay the top merchandise draw, can stay having crowds on their feet singing his name. I think him and Damian Priest, who's wrestled before, they wrestled all the way back in Ring of Honor when Cody was there. They had a great match. I very much enjoyed it. Three crossroads to end it all. Mm-hmm. He got so high one time on Damian Priest, the South of Heaven chokeslam. It's not a surprise. I think we both had Cody.
Right.
But it was good to see the crowd so alive for him. It's always a good feeling.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about Raw in a minute. We got a fun build for what we got next on Raw as well. But the main event of the night, you know, the main event, LA Knight versus Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of bullshit online about Roman Reigns.
Okay.
You know, I get it. There's a formula to his big matches, right? Wrestle until bloodline shenanigans to cost the guy, you know, cost the babyface. But some people online got it in their mind that Roman can't go anymore. There was even a Twitter thread of like, big dog era Roman, better wrestler in ring than bloodline era Roman.
Hmm.
And I was like, damn. I mean, he definitely was busting out bigger moves. But the storytelling is just such a next level. And I think this match proves that for not only Tim, but LA Knight too, that they can go in ring and switch up the formula of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the way this match was laid out. I really love how much that stock they put into LA Knight. He kicked out of the spear, which was
insane,
shocking. Yeah. And then the finish wasn't just like we've seen before. LA Knight was taking it to both Roman and Uso on the outside, puts Jimmy Uso through a table and then accidentally gets speared. Or then, I guess I should say, while he was worried about that, he turns around and gets speared through the barricade, thrown in another spear, 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring. But I thought it was laid out tremendously. I thought they got me with a lot of false finishes. And to see him kick out of that first spear was incredible. Good way to mix things up. I really enjoyed this match. Another candidate for Match of the Week.
A lot of candidates for Match of the Week. It's just a lot of bangers happened this week. You know, Crown Jewel. And I don't know if you want to move on to Dynamite just yet because they had a lot of great matches. But, yeah, man.
Tell me what you think of this Roman LA Knight story and match. And then we can move on to Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was fantastic. What you said about Roman not being great in the ring. Like, what people saying that, like, they're just, I think they're getting growing tired of Roman and they just want to say something, you know, just because, you know, they're just voicing their frustrations.
Absolutely.
You know, because he has been champion for a while and it has kind of the same, at the end of the day, like, it, you know, the shenanigans happen. That's what most people remember is just the end of the match, right? So I kind of get it, but also you just got to understand, why wouldn't he do that? That's what heel does. It's psychology. It's like, if he can get away with it, he's going to keep doing it. And it's been working out for him. And, you know, till now. And LA Knight, I love LA Knight. He did a great job as well. He is awesome. I feel like it won't stop his momentum. I feel like he still had that momentum because he's just so big time at the moment. And you got Cody winning, Roman winning. It just seems right that it's kind of leading the Roman and Cody again at WrestleMania. So I'm excited.
I'm all about that. I'm interested to hear what our listeners have to say.
For
if
sure.
you're watching the video on YouTube, hit pause right now. Go in the comments. Tell me who you think is better, Big Dog era Roman, Bloodline era Roman. Tell me, do you think LA Knight keeps his momentum or it's going to stagger off a little bit? Does it taper off? Pause it. Let me hear your thoughts. We need to hear. Me and AK will be in the comments below talking to you guys about it. Shall we move on to Dynamite?
Yeah, let's do it. Dynamite had a lot of good matches this week. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying I just want to touch on most of the good matches because like, they had a good handful of bangers.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of negativity online all last week. The AEW doom and gloom has been everywhere.
Right.
It's falling off. It's downhill. Bad stories. Old wrestlers. A lot of negative talk, really, about the state of AEW. And you knew Tony was going to come back with some big matches. We see announcements all over the place. Jay White versus Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
With the returning Mark Briscoe. We see Keith Lee versus Samoa Joe set up on Collision for this week's Dynamite. We see MJF versus Daniel Garcia. And we see Swerve versus Penta. And while all of these matches are good on paper, that's one of the problems with Dynamite, is that we get a lot of rushed matches with no build.
Mm-hmm.
And why that will do well for one night of excitement, I don't think that gets people excited long term unless you can build and mold stories around the matches.
Yes.
And we see that with the Swerve and Hangman feud. Like, that's one of the major feuds right now that I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, there's not a ton of stories in AEW that I'm excited about right now. Would you agree? Would you disagree? Do you have anything you want to bring up?
I somewhat agree with that, I would say. I'm mostly going back to, like, you know, when you talk about the big matches and no build, I feel like it's great for, like, a live crowd. Like, if you're, like, going to a show and you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing all these great matches. I'm seeing MJF wrestle, Daniel Garcia. I'm seeing Penta and Swerve get the fight. I'm seeing, you know, Keith Lee and Samoa Joe go head-to-head. Like, as a live audience member in the crowd, you're probably loving it. Like, this is great. You know, like, just like you set everything aside just for one night. You want to enjoy some wrestling. You want to, like, have fun and just, like, watch bangers after banger. Dynamite is the show to go to, I would say, if that's what you really, really enjoy and want to watch. But
without a doubt, week to week, AEW puts on the best wrestling matches. I enjoy watching matches better on AEW programming than any other place.
Yeah.
Continue your thought.
But going back towards, you know, the TV aspect of it, a lot of people, you know, want to follow a story. They want to get invested in the characters. They want to be like, okay, what's going on with this guy? Why are they in a match right now? Why are they feuding? Like, a lot of people look at it, because, like, a lot of people love watching TV, but we all love drama. Just think of all the huge TV shows out right now. TV shows is making, like, a huge, like, you know, comeback, and everyone's loving everything, and Netflix is doing the HBO, all that stuff. So everyone's really, really into TV right now. They love drama. So I feel like for the TV folks, they need a little bit more. They need a little bit more story. They need a little bit more emotion and more drama. So I feel like they can bring that out a little bit more for AEW. But for the live shows, I feel like they're killing it. If you're, like, going to a show and it's like if AEW's in town, you definitely got to go to the show because you're going to see a great, great show. But on the other hand, with the TV side, it's like, you know, just build it up a little bit more for the TV viewers, I would say.
Yeah, you want to be, like you said, story-driven content, storytelling.
Yeah.
Storytelling gets you emotionally invested. And right now, I'm not fully emotionally invested in a lot of things. One of the main stories on TV every week, is it overdone? Is it done too much? Is the MJF story. We see so much. I've said it for three weeks straight. It's the Dynamite has become the MJF show. He's got multiple segments all revolving around him with a ton of different people. Wardlow, Samoa Joe, Roderick Strong and The Kingdom with Adam Cole's side. We got Jay White and the BBC, the Bang Bang Game. Mm-hmm. BBG, I should say. Jesus, Bullet Club Gold, BCG. And so some people are, there's too many unresolved issues in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to figure out, like, what should we care about? Because there's so much stuff to care about.
Yeah. I want to say this.
Just to interject
here, just one thing I want to say.
Go ahead.
It kind of feels like they're stalling for something. Like, it's like,
could it be Adam Cole's return?
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, okay, we keep peppering in this devil thing. We got to keep peppering in because, like, I feel like they should just show it already because it's kind of getting like, come on now. They're just going to attack every single week.
The Adam Cole injury hurt this a lot.
Yeah.
who do you think is the devil? You know, it's not Max. It's clear as day. It's not. I don't think it's going to be Max.
Right.
We saw the cronies jump him. Jesus, my alarm going off. We saw the cronies jump him. Who do you think is under the devil mask? We've seen a lot of rumors online.
Of course, yeah.
What's your thought?
I feel like Adam Cole was up there to be probably the main one. I've seen a lot of people saying Jack Perry. That could be interesting. Because, you know, Jack Perry hasn't came back yet. And we are interested to see how they're going to bring him back. So that's like the two big candidates right now. You know, of course, people go say CM Punk, but that's just a long shot. I don't think that's...
Yeah, I hate to burst anybody's bubble. You don't put out a press release saying you fired somebody if you haven't really fired somebody.
Right, yeah.
He's not coming back. At least not right now. Jack Perry is a good guess. I just feel like it immediately stalled when Adam Cole left.
Right.
And I think it's a clear cut that it's Adam Cole... And that Roderick Strong and the Kingdom are all under the mask. It's four guys. It makes sense that it's Adam Cole and the Kingdom. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, and I would be excited to see it, but I do agree that I feel like we're stalling.
Yeah.
And it's time to move it forward, and I think that's a problem right now with Dynamite, is that there's too much stuff that seems like it matters but hasn't proven it matters yet.
Exactly.
You know?
They're just kind of in a little rut right now. It's not their fault. You know, Adam Cole got hurt. You know, it's unfortunate events. They just have to figure out a way, maybe a better way to go about it, but I don't know. I'm not the booker, so I don't want to, like, you know, fantasy book or, like, say, I do it better at anything or like that. This, yeah. It's just the fact.
We don't fantasy book here on Lighten Up, brother.
It's just the feeling I have, and you have, maybe you have, and other people have. It's just what we feel right now. I just feel right now just kind of stalling a bit, and that's just my personal take on it, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah, I enjoyed Mark Briscoe's return and him fighting Jay White. I enjoyed the continuation of Swerve versus Hangman, and Swerve and Penta put on a really good match, and then Hangman gets revenge for the BNE that Swerve committed last week, the breaking and entering. Does the Deadeye off the stage through a table.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Fun continuation there. And then Samoa Joe beats Keith Lee in a really fun match and then decides to vacate the the ROH Television Championship to pursue the AEW World title. I enjoyed that. And I thought it was a bunch of good matches. Yeah. And that was a good twist to the story. It sucks. I don't like champions vacating the title for no real reason, but he can't afford to lose right now, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of wait and see.
Yeah.
I liked Hikaru Shida and Timeless Toni Storm segment on Dynamite. And then the rest of the stuff on Dynamite, I think we got in the rapid fire topic. So that's the biggest things I wanted to touch on there. Big topic-wise was just really good matches on Dynamite and touching on the devil subject. What else do we got in the lineup?
We got going moving over to WWE. We want to go to Raw next. You know, Raw's mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, first thing I think we should talk about is the big story coming out of Monday Night Raw. Survivor Series War Games.
Yes.
We got War Games. We got 4-on-4 right now. I didn't see them adding Seth Rollins to the mix. I do like that. Thoughts? Mm-hmm. We got Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and Cody Rhodes versus The Judgment Day, including J.D. McDonagh. So Damian Priest, Dirty Dom, Finn Balor, and J.D. McDonagh. But Survivor Series War Games. War Games usually 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's potential for a fifth man to be added on both sides. Now, I feel like I have a good prediction for the babyface side. It's the heel side I'm a little confused by.
Mm.
I think Drew McIntyre adds in on the fifth side over there. And on the babyface side, some people are thinking CM Punk because it's in Chicago. Yeah. Some people think maybe they allow a SmackDown to get in on this and Kevin Owens comes back to join them. But I think we get the return of the Legend Killer.
Oh, wow.
The Viper.
I didn't think about that.
Randy Orton returns at Survivor Series.
That's a good take.
To join the babyface side.
I like that.
I'm calling it now. Randy Orton's the fifth man. Drew McIntyre, fifth man on the other side, commits to the heel turn in War Games.
That's awesome. I love that prediction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know about the Drew McIntyre prediction. I just don't know who else the fifth man would be right, over there. I feel like it just makes the most sense if you're putting Seth Rollins on the babyface side that you have to put Drew McIntyre on the heel side. And I'm excited for that. I think this can be a fun build. I think it's destined to be a good match with all these names in it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the War Games format. I do like going WWE, how they don't have a ceiling on the cage like the Blood and Guts cage over in AEW. So I'm hoping that this one is better than the Blood and Guts we got earlier this year.
Yeah. I understand that. I'm very excited for War Games. It's going to be bonkers, especially if they... it's going to be hype either way. I know Punk is a very, very long shot, and it would be kind of cool to see him back in WWE. Like, that would be a huge, huge, like, statement and huge, big bombshell type of situation. But also, like, I love Randy Orton. The Viper coming back, it excites me as well. So if that happens, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's been too long, probably over a year now that since we've seen Randy Orton, and he's been at the Performance Center working out. You know, there's been murmurs and rumors that he's coming back. There's no better place than Survivor Series for me for him to do it.
Hell yeah.
We also got Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins on Raw. Another match of the week contender. I really like this match. I love what they're doing with Sami Zayn. Like, he's trying to show that he's a World Heavyweight Championship contender. And how do you prove that? Put him in big matches. Him and Drew last week. Him and Seth this week. It just proves how good he is.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I want to see more of it, too. Sami and Seth, I mean, you can't go wrong putting those two in the ring. Like,
without a doubt.
It's like, they're top of their games. They're both legends in their own aspect. They're going to go down. They're definitely going in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a given at this point. So, Sami and Seth, they've been doing this for a long time. You might not think it, but it's been like 15, 20 years, maybe even more than that, they've been wrestling. So, it's incredible to watch that they're still like at their apexes and going at it.
And opposed to Dynamite, I think Raw is mixing things up in a way with the mid-card stories that I'm enjoying getting more. Mm-hmm. Than I am, and that's shocking to say. Yeah. We had a bunch of different storylines this week, I feel like, that advanced and mixed things up. I love the injection of the Creed brothers on Monday Night Raw. We saw them beat Alpha Academy last week and then turn around and beat DIY this week, which DIY fresh on the scene. Got a win last week. Mm-hmm. I did not see them losing this week, especially not to the Creeds, but they're advancing their story with Imperium. Imperium gets involved.
Right.
Creeds win. I enjoyed that. New Day Wrestling, Finn and Damian Priest. We've seen the Judgment Day wrestle Cody and Jay and Sammy and Kevin so much that it was good to see the Judgment Day wrestle a different tag team, and the New Day's great.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they had a fun match. We got to talk about the Fatal 4-Way on Monday Night Raw between The Miz, Ivar, Bronson Reed, and Ricochet. We saw maybe a botched finish with Ricochet getting hurt on a previous spot earlier on, but... The Miz, in his John Cena 2015 U.S. Open Challenge bag, busting out a bunch of babyface moves. Mm-hmm. It's clear as day, Miz versus Gunther is the direction that we're going. I saw a lot of discourse online where they don't think Miz has got it. They don't want to see Miz versus Gunther. They think they're better competitors for Gunther to face. But I'm a wait-and-see type of guy. You know, Miz is a babyface. We haven't gotten a lot over the years. He's definitely trying to do something different and bust out some different moves. Mm-hmm. But now we got Ivar versus Miz next week to determine the true number one contender for the Intercontinental title. What do you think about Miz busting out these new babyface high flying moves.
I loved it, man. Like I said, I like The Miz. I would say I'm a Miz supporter. I don't think he's really, I know a lot of people really like to use him as a punching bag and say he's so terrible and like, why is he on our TV all the time? Like, why is he there? Miz is there for a reason. He's solid. He can put on a good match. He's, you know, he can bust out moves when he wants to, as you can see. He's still got a little bit in the tank. I think he can, him and Gunther, I think, might surprise a lot of people. I feel like people need to wait and see, like you said. I know you're a wait and see guy. A lot of people need to wait and see how the match is going to go. But I feel pretty good about the Gunther and Miz match coming up at that. So I think they can put on a good match. I'm not saying, oh, it's going to be 10 out of 10 banger, or oh, it's going to be like 5 stars or anything like that. But I don't think it's going to be bad by any means. I think it's going to be actually like solid, great match.
Yeah, I'll never doubt Gunther in the ring at all. But yeah, like I said, man, very excited for things going on Raw right now. Maybe my favorite show to watch this week, I think. Should we move on to some rapid-fire topics? I know we didn't fully touch on Hangman versus Swerve, but we said what happened.
Right.
And I'm glad Hangman got some revenge.
Me too.
I think maybe, well, hold on, I'm sorry. We should touch on one more thing that happened on Dynamite. The Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega interview segment turned into them versus the Young Bucks, which has now set up the Golden Jets taking on the Young Bucks sometime soon. It's clear as day the Young Bucks are setting up a heel turn. They've been checked out a little bit. They've been seemed dejected. They've seemed nonchalant in the way they've been acting lately. And it's clear as day they're turning heel. And it also seems that Chris Jericho's ready to move on from this Don Callis storyline.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have the finale with the street fight announced for next week, where we see Paul White, Jericho, Kenny, and Ibushi versus 4 of Don Callis' members. We don't know who is going to be yet. It could be Kyle Fletcher, Ospreay, Takeshita, and Hobbs. If Sammy's healed up, maybe Sammy Guevara's back in it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know fully who the 4 is in the Don Callis family. But I'm sure we'll find out next week. But I don't know how I feel about the heel Bucks and fighting Kenny and them again. I do think the segment was good. Kenny said, hey, we can do this tag team again. I've beat y'all before. Me and Hangman have beat y'all. Me and Ibushi have beat y'all. And I don't doubt that me and Jericho can beat y'all. That intrigues me. I think they can have a good match. I don't know if I like the direction, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I should have said it's very interesting to see how that unfolds. But I don't have much else to say after you said most of everything. So,
well, boom, let's get to some rapid-fire topics. We're 34 minutes in. Let's knock some of these out.
Let's knock them out. Rapid fire. We got, first up, got to talk about them, of course, Julia and Sky Blue.
Very interesting, right? We saw months ago. Julia sprayed the mist into Sky Blue's eyes, and she started to tease like she was going to turn heel. Then out of nowhere last week, she turns around, spits the mist back in Julia's face.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a face-to-face after the Red Velvet match. Shout out to Red Velvet for her return.
Yep.
And Chris Statlander and Willow come out and kind of break that up. It intrigues me. I look forward to see where it's going.
Me too.
The mist coming back into play last week was a super nice twist to the story. Very intriguing.
Very, very intriguing stuff. I really like where they're going with that, with the Miz storyline. And a little like Chris Statlander's involved now, Julia Hart, Sky Blue. They're young, up and coming. They're great. And I'm very, very excited. I'm glad they have like this segment going on for them. I'm really, really happy for them that they got this story going forward and looking forward where it goes.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on. I think we touched on this a bit, but, you know, with Drew on Raw. We could talk about it a little bit, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, I thought for sure they were going to commit to the turn.
Yeah.
And he's still slow playing it. He shows up in the car, gets asked about Crown Jewel, gets right back in the car and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think we touched on it.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked that it's still slow played this long, but I like it.
Yeah. You know, it's playing the long game right now. We got this another wait and see if he actually does it or not. But I'm intrigued with it. Drew, I feel like it's going to happen soon. It's got to happen soon.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he's probably going to be the fifth man until we started this podcast and I said it. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, maybe they was waiting for that. Who knows? All right, moving on to your boy, your friend, Lance Archer.
good. So good to see Lance Archer back. We talked about him coming back to face Darby. Of course, that was crazy on Collision. And now this Saturday, we have another six-man tag with him teaming up with The Righteous versus Sting, Edge, and Darby. Adam Copeland, I should say. I'm just glad Lance is on the show. I'm glad he found a home on Collision. He's too good not to be used, and I enjoy seeing him back.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. He's a monster. He should be used a lot more. I feel like AEW needs more monsters, and he's one of the top guys to do that, and he's so great in the ring, and he's very agile for a big man as well, so I'm happy to see him in the ring get more TV time because he deserves it. And let's move on to more rapid fire. We're getting through these Creed brothers.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on that when I talked about Raw as well. They're clearly being pushed. They clearly want to have good matches, and they had a good match for DIY. And I'm just glad that we have this injection of the Creed brothers into the tag division, mixing things up on Raw.
Yeah, I'm glad about that too. Moving on, Rampage three-way.
Man, Vikingo. Jesus, my Spanish not sounding too great this morning. Vikingo versus Commander versus Penta L0M. Fire match on Rampage. I've said it. I don't watch Rampage every week, but we have the luxury of being able to pick and choose things due to what we think sounds good. If you haven't went out of your way to watch this three-way, it's one of the best matches of the week. If you enjoy wild lucha wrestling, this is the match for you. If you enjoy Penta being in his bag, this is the match for you. If you enjoy super creative, innovative spots, Vikingo, Commander, Penta, insane. Go out of your way to watch the Rampage match that started off, that kicked off Rampage last week, because it was fantastic. And I just want to give credit where credit is due when you get a fantastic TV match.
Oh, yeah. It was so fire, so insane. You got to love it. And also moving on, we got to talk about Maria May, but this could have been in the big topics. We decided to put in a rapid fire. New signee for AEW.
Yeah, I know people are probably not just familiar with her. She's done some great stuff in Japan with Stardom. And it seems like she's coming in to be the Mickey James to Toni Storm's Trish Stratus, right? She talked about wanting to meet, like she was a super fan of Toni Storm. And it gave me vibes of that Mickey James debut where she was stalking Trish Stratus. So if that's the route they go, I'm excited about it.
Me too.
But if you're not familiar with Maria May, she's incredibly attractive, which is one of the reasons they signed her. And she's really good in the ring. And she's, you know, she's honed her craft in Japan, which I think is a highlight. So I'm intrigued to see where this goes.
And I really liked her interview. It was like a really good promo she did. She really, like that fangirl, like she really like honed in on
nailed
that.
It.
And she did a really, really good job of like being like a fangirl of Toni Storm and like being super excited to be in AEW and meeting Toni Storm. Like it was nice. It was cute. I liked it.
Hell yeah.
Moving on to the Stinger, Sting.
Sting, you know, we saw him and Darby team up against the Outrunners. It was a quick match, but it's good to see Sting do his thing, man. I'm just trying to not take it for granted and enjoy the last run of Sting. We get him on Collision this Saturday, too, and I'm excited for that as well.
Me too. Just enjoying this Sting last run. I'm not taking it for granted, like you said. And, just soaking it all in. Gotta love it. Sting's one of the best to ever do it. He's awesome. He's an icon. And, Love him on the screen, but it's coming to our end. I'm enjoying it. All right. We got to talk about your boys, though. Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, we got a fun gimmick match on SmackDown, them versus the Brawling Brutes. Mm-hmm. There was one botch that I saw people talking about online, and I got to at least say it. We got table spots. We got an actual story behind this match that I think was really good. I am happy that Pretty Deadly is getting time on SmackDown. I don't know if that's the end of the feud or not, but they got the win, which I think they deserve. And I definitely feel like they could be, I don't know if they'll be getting a tag team title shot soon enough, but the great part about that gimmick is that they can stay relevant and entertaining each week without having to be focused on the tag titles.
Yeah, entertaining as hell. Glad they had a pretty good solid match, and I'm looking forward to more matches from them. They've been killing it. Love their promos, of course. But last but not least, we got to talk about them, Lexus King.
Yeah, you know, not a lot of, I mean, I like NXT. I don't watch it weekly. Tiffany Stratton did her thing there. There was a fun women's tag. We got the tease of Baron Corbin versus Wes Lee. We got Dijak versus Tyler Bate. Mm-hmm. But the only big thing coming out of NXT is the Trick Williams Mello storyline where Alexis King come out, which was a sharp surprise because we haven't seen him interact with any of the big names on the roster. Some people didn't like the promo online. I'm another wait and see type of guy. Mm-hmm. I am rooting for Brian Pillman Jr. and I want him to do well.
Yeah.
And so he interrupted. He says, "Hey, maybe it wasn't Mello. Maybe it was someone sick, twisted, a little dirty. Maybe it was Alexis King." Yeah. And then Trick Williams hits Mello. I thought for sure we were going to see Mello versus Trick. That was going to be the story going forward. I didn't think they were going to be hesitant about it.
Right.
I didn't think they were going to try to convince Trick that it wasn't Mello that did it. You know, they're both still walking the babyface line. And I thought that was a fun little thing to differentiate or inject some life into this to make things more interesting with Alexis King.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him too. Hopefully he gets to where he wants to be, and he's in, you know, in the thick of it now, and I'm excited to see where he goes from there. But now, we're moving on to match of the week. What you got?
The more I think about it, the more I feel like I have to give it to LA Knight versus Roman Reigns. I was very intrigued. I mean, Seth and Drew, right up there, for sure. But I think that's my match of the week. It's the main event of Crown Jewel. Crowd's going crazy for LA Knight, everything he's doing. The false finishes they did in that match was incredible. I enjoyed the structure, the format, the layout. I think LA Knight benefited from the match more than it hurt him. And I think Roman beat the I don't wrestle well allegations.
Yeah, I share the same, but I wouldn't say it's my match of the week. I would go slightly different here. I'm going with Seth and Drew. I think that's my match of the week. I'm a big Seth guy. I think he deserves his flowers. I know a lot of people think he, like you said earlier, they're not really feeling his wrestling style. I don't understand that at all. I think he's great in the ring. I think Drew was great. I think they had a hard-hitting match, a lot of great spots, a lot of intrigue, because I really thought, like you said, you predicted Drew to win, and then to see Seth actually just win straight up was kind of like unexpected. So I'll put that match over Roman just because I expected Roman to win that match the whole entire time. So that's where I'm going.
I like that. I like it. And it shows that, hey, if we got multiple match of the week candidates, then that means we had a good week of wrestling. I want to know what the fans think. Make sure you comment below. Tell us what your match of the week was. All right. Indie wrestler of the week. Give it to me.
I'm going to give it to you. We've been doing a lot of men lately, so I'm going to switch over to the women this week.
Oh.
I want to shout out Brooke Havoc, indie wrestler. She's been killing it. She has been part of Nightmare Factory as well. I wasn't in her camp. She was at the camp before me, I think camp one or two, I want to say. And she's awesome. She had some unfortunate injuries in her career, her young career so far. That is very unfortunate. But she always fights back. She's hella jacked now. You can tell she's focusing on her body more. She's focusing on her like in ring. Like I see a lot of clips on her Instagram. She's been killing it. She's got a great look. She's fiery. She's inspiring. I really like her a lot. I think she's great in the ring. And I think she's got a lot of momentum on the indie scene right now. And I just want to shout her out because she's doing great things on the indie scene.
I like that. Yeah, Brooke Havoc trained at the Nightmare Factory. Cody helped her get on AEW. She wrestled Britt Baker. She had a bunch of fun matches. Unfortunately, got injured. Had multiple injuries that set her back a little bit. But now she's back and she's been getting jacked in the gym, of course. I like that. I like where you're going with women this week. You know what? I'm going to also shout out a woman this week. Maddie Rynkowski. She wrestled on AEW a little bit during the pandemic. I think she's incredible in the ring. I think she's going to get signed. She had a tryout with WWE recently. I wouldn't be shocked if they pick her up. She's holding multiple titles in Texas right now and is so good in the ring. If you don't know Maddie Rynkowski, check them out. We'll make sure we put all the socials to both Brooke and Maddie in the description below, as well as in the show notes on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from on those platforms. I think that's the gist of this week. Listen, guys, every week we know you might not get a chance to watch all the wrestling. We want to tell you the best parts. There's plenty of podcasts out there that focus on the negative. We give you the positives. We think, hey, wrestling's supposed to be fun. Don't get worked up. Lighten up, brother. and subscribe to the brand new Lighten Up Brother podcast feed. Remember, next week, it will not be on the Fuego del Sol channel. If you want the video, it will be on the new Lighten Up Brother podcast channel. It's strictly dedicated to the podcast, and it'll give you breakdowns and clips and shorts every week of the podcast. It just helps us declutter the Fuego del Sol channel. Make sure you subscribe to the channel so you don't miss next week's episode of Lighten Up Brother. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for enjoying wrestling with us. We thank you for being positive and for lightening up, brother. And for my co-host, the Assassin AK-47, I am Fuego del Sol. And we will see you next week on Lighten Up Brother with Fuego del Sol.